If you'd like more information on the message of Fatima, you can go to the Fatima.org website, F-A-T-I-M-A.org website, or call this toll-free number. Here it is for you. Write it down. 800-263-8160. And I'll be back with Father Nicholas Gruner in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. For some reason, Father Gruner, I think people want this third message, this third secret, to be dramatic. You know, they want it to say planet Earth will get hit by an asteroid, or some calamity will occur, or something of a major consequence. I think they would rather have that for some reason other than saying something like Christianity may go awry or something like that. Do you believe that too?
Well, I think it says both things, actually. I don't have the specifics, but I think it's because many in the church have gone into apostasy or leading us to apostasy. As a result of that, the spiritual effect has consequences in the physical world. The chastisement will be something like a comet hitting us. In fact, John Paul II alluded to that when he spoke of the sequin. He said that the oceans would be going over the land, and millions would die from minute to minute, so to speak. And it would, there has been a prophecy of a great comet spoken on the scenes years ago, I mean centuries ago, hitting the Earth and causing tidal waves. That tsunami that took place about 4 years ago is a small image of the kind of thing that would take place when this kind of thing happens.
This would be huge.
Yes.
Of what we would say biblical proportions?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, Pope Pius XII said in 51 that the world today, that's 1951, is worse today than before the flood. So we're talking about, I mentioned the message of Our Lady at Akita, which Cardinal Ratzinger, now the Pope, says is equivalent to the message of Fatima. In there it says that the punishment will be worse than the flood.
So you think it is punishment? It's not just bad luck or some universal event, of course, which would create this, but you truly believe it's punishment because of the way mankind is?
Unfortunately, you know, I mean, it can be avoided. Otherwise, I'd rather just rest and, you know, I mean, I'm old enough to retire. I've been at this for over 30 years, and I'm quite happy to rest and read my books. But because I believe that we're in such danger, that's what drives me on to keep trying, even though against all hope, it doesn't seem like people are paying much attention. We do have, you know, I wouldn't want to say that absolutely. We have, you know, over 1 million people read us, but, I mean, it really should be in the tens of millions that take us seriously.
Let's talk a little bit about two works that are out there that you talk about. One is, of course, the work by Christopher Ferrara,
yes,
called The Third Secret Still Hidden.
Yes, The Secret Still Hidden.
His theories, I think, echo many of yours, don't they?
They do. Well, in fact, he's a lawyer. He's a trial lawyer. He's, you know, he's accredited at the Supreme Court and done some cases, many years now. He's been almost for 30 years a lawyer. This book is very clearly written, but it's obviously put together by a lawyer. And he's not going so much with theories, although he does piece it all together, but it's hundreds, if not thousands, of facts he puts together. And the conclusion is inescapable, I think, of anyone who reads it with an open mind, that the Vatican are holding back the most important part. There's a text that they have not released to us, even though Cardinal Bertone claims that he has. Are we accusing him of lying? Well, that would be too strong a word. He's using what is called a mental reservation, because he has defined the text in his mind as not being authentic. So I don't think he's using that. He's not justified in using that reservation, but he thinks he is. The bottom line is, there's another text. He's not giving it to us, and he's certainly letting everyone believe that it's all published.
How come this secret hasn't gotten out? You know, you tell one person, he tells one person, he tells one person. All of a sudden, everybody knows it. How come in this case it's been pretty quiet?
Well, they've given them, everyone who's ever had this secret given to them, the full secret, has been put under an oath, a very serious oath. But even some of those people, they have spoken about it, and I can tell you, unfortunately, I wish that these people who have heard the secret, they're so afraid to say it. But I do know priests who have heard this from the lips of someone who does know it, and this person who's read it has told a priest I know, and that priest I know has talked to friends of mine.
Is it frightening, Father?
Well, it's talking about, among other things, the Second Vatican Council, that the council would make major mistakes, and that as a result of that, a lot of people would be misled. And it talks about the dangers then of people taking the wrong path and losing their way, ultimately going to hell if they don't correct themselves. That's what it is in a nutshell. And people find it hard to say, well, the Blessed Virgin wouldn't say such a thing. It's precisely because she's our mother that she wants us to get to heaven. And when she sees we're being misled, and our Lord says, woe to the world because of scandals, but scandals will come. But the scandals, the people who are scandalized, are still at fault for their being scandalized. So she wants to correct people's consciences, that is, to set them right, because some leaders have put them on the wrong path. And so she's trying to correct it, but the people who have the secret are the ones, it's an indictment of their policies for the last 45 years.
The other book, The Fourth Secret of Fatima, backs up what you've been saying, that there are two envelopes, two texts.
Yes, in fact, it's not only, by the way, it's very interesting because in this book, apart from all his background work, which, you know, again, Christopher in his book cites many of the arguments that Antonio Socci gives as well as other ones, but Socci brings forward something that no one else has been able to do so far. I remember working with a TV producer a few years ago, and I said, well, you have the testimony of so-and-so. Well, let's go and take a shot of him. He says, well, I'm sorry, he's dead. Well, this guy says this. Well, let's go and take a shot. Let's go and interview him. He's dead, too. Well, Sochi's come up with a living witness who's still alive today who says there is a second text. This living witness is none other than the personal secretary of Pope John 23rd. His name is Archbishop Capovilla. He's 92 or 93 years old now. And he was with the Pope when the secret was first opened by John 23rd. And he read it himself. And he says there's a second text. And that's what Sochi's big service is, coming up with this smoking gun of a living witness who says that to this day.
Do you believe in end times? The Book of Revelation?
Yeah, absolutely.
And could that have been part of the secret?
Well, Lucy says that, you know, in one passage which Frère Michel quotes, that Lucy says it's chapters 8 to chapter 12 of the Book of Revelation, or the Book of the Apocalypse, chapters 8 to 12. And every pope that goes to Fatima, that's Paul VI who went once, and John Paul II who went three times, they always quote chapter 12, verses 1 at least, and John Paul II quoted chapters 1 to 4, or cited them, on his last visit. That is apparently at the heart of the secret. I wouldn't be surprised when the text is released that the Blessed Virgin actually cites the passage herself.
Now, will they release the second part?
Release the third part? You mean the
third secret, but I mean the other part.
The second half, yeah.
The second half of it.
Yeah, the more important one. Will they release it? I believe they will. In fact, Sister Lucy made a prophecy in 1992, and it was not widely known, but it was my friend and collaborator, Father Kramer, was in Fatima at the time. And the sisters, the Carmelite sisters, passed the word on to the Carmelite sisters in Fatima. And they said, the third secret will be released, I'll add the words in full, at the outbreak of a major war.
That's interesting. Now, we could be on the verge of that right now, Father.
But in fact, one of the things that would... Pope John Paul II said in Fulda, Germany, in 1980, in I think it was November, he said that one reason why we haven't released it up to now is because we don't want Russia to make certain moves. But when Russia does make those moves, then, of course, that excuse will be taken away from them. And that's why when Russia does invade the West, Western Europe, there will be no reason for not releasing. I mean, I don't think there's any reason ultimately for not releasing already, of course. But taking from the human prudence instead of divine prudence, when Russia makes those moves, then they'll have no excuse to justify to themselves not releasing it.
Do you see these moves by Russia now, this resurgence, as some kind of indicator?
It certainly, you know, I've been laughed to scorn in public by the local paper, the daily paper in Buffalo, back in the 1990s, when I said, you know, that the so-called changes in Russia were cosmetic, and that they really wasn't, you know, everyone was believing that stuff at the time.
But even
New York Times today vindicate, not that I have to be vindicated by them, but they acknowledge that Stalinism is coming back, and you know, it was never dead. And other commentators, I think in the local, you know, Time magazine, others I've just forgotten, more recently are saying this, you know, especially with the events going on in Georgia and so forth. Not to say it's all one-sided. I mean, the man in Georgia started the thing, but who started what? I mean, if you start studying communism, when you understand Trotskyites try, they believe in starting violence purposely because they want to have the revolution go faster. So, and they have Trotskyites who pretend to be you know, conservatives only to start wars in order to start the battle start over again. So I don't know, really, as one commentator, one British journalist said, was it the premier, or was he provoked? Or was somebody, and I would add, or were the Trotskyites in the government starting this whole thing off? I don't know who started it, but ultimately, with Russia coming in and you know, setting up, basically they could have taken the whole country, and then they said they would leave, and they didn't for a month. I mean, it's,
yeah, now they're just turning. Yeah. You know, you could take Putin out of the KGB, Father, but you can't take the KGB out of Putin.
And really, the whole thing is that has he been taken out of the KGB? And then the same thing is said about, you know, the intelligence services maybe have taken over both governments, East and West. Basically, when they, you know, and when they had the Masons, the P Dewey, as they call them in Italian, is they didn't ask for anything from these members of the Masonic Lodge and P Dewey, except that you have something that be blackmailed by. Having that blackmail, and the intelligence services, of course, are great in having blackmail. And so, and apparently, it works in the KGB that they can control the rest of the other two, the army and the Communist Party.
Tell me about your thoughts about the annihilation of nations.
Well, the Blessed Virgin said, if my requests are not granted, you know, various nations will be annihilated. And of course, I mean, we've already
and that could be economically, right?
Well, I think it could be. It's economically. It can be. I mean, all of these things are related. Ultimately, it will be physical annihilation. That is, that there will be nobody living in that part of the world, because whether it's an A-bomb, a neutron bomb, or some sort of biological warfare, or whatever other means of mass destruction, or whether it's just, you know, getting this whole biological stuff. It doesn't have to be explosive. It just, you know, there's a monument, I'm sure you must have heard of it, George, down in Georgia, which calls for the wiping out of 9/10 of mankind.
Yes.
And so the people who think that way, I mean, it's so foreign. You have to sort of, how can they think this way? But they do, and they put this monument up in eight languages, calling for keeping the population of the world at 500 million.
Yeah, that's the one where they don't know who donated the money to build it or something.
I don't know, but I mean, they must have an awful lot of money to put 320,000 tons of rock granite in eight languages to call for this annihilation of 9/10 of the world's population.
If you were running the Vatican and you had access to the message, would you release it now?
I would, absolutely.
And how would you do it? How would you release it to us?
Well, I basically...
In what form?
I mean, obviously photocopy it, or, you know, reproduce it electronically, and so let people see it for themselves, exactly what it was written there, and give the best, you know, translation you can, and give it to the widest possible circulation before anyone can sit on it.
How come Lucia, even on her deathbed, didn't say anything?
Lucy was given an order by the Blessed Virgin to tell no one. And so, that was by Our Lady in 1917. And then when she wrote it down, she was told by Our Lady she could write it down and give it to the authority, which was the Bishop of Fatima, which she did. But she never had the permission from Our Lady to release it herself. And I think the reason for that is as follows, that when Melanie, you might have heard of La Salette, on the 19th of September, 1846, she also received a secret. And she got permission to publish it in 1879. And that secret is phenomenal. But, I mean, from 1870, she died in 1904 or something like that, or 1909. And she said, among other things, that Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist comes at some people say it's that just before the end of the world, and Christ will, and the Antichrist will reign over the whole world for 3.5 years, 42 months. And so if Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist, this is what Melanie, the seer at La Salette said in writing, and she had the permission of a bishop to write it down, and it's published to the world. But yet, what did they end up doing? They ended up calling her crazy, that she was, you know, exalté, as they say in French, that she was, you know, touched mentally and so forth. She wasn't at all. But people know, and they even managed to put it on the index of the forbidden books for about a couple of months in 1917. Although the piece of paper putting it there, no one could ever find anyone authorizing it to go there. But
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that. So that treatment that Melanie of La Salette received was not given to Lucy, and because heaven gave us a chance to let the seer give it out in 1879, and the people didn't pay any attention. So this time, God wants, Our Lady wants, this message to be at least published by the authority of the Pope, or at least that the Pope allows it to be published.
What is your take, Father, on these apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary that people see on windows? We've got that on our coasttocoastam.com website, on pieces of toast, on wood. I mean, is this just, are they looking for things that they see, or do you think they're really apparitions?
Well, you know, a few years ago, there was a building, I think, in Florida, somewhere in St. Petersburg, if I recall correctly. It had some picture there. People saw it as a picture on the side of Our Lady. First of all, I'm sure that God is trying to reach us in many ways, and, you know, so allowing us to, you know, and to see a pattern that looks like Our Lady, it would, and some people see it and some people don't. I think it's God is trying to call us to the more important realities, which are the spiritual realities. So is this one authentic and that one not? I don't know. But would God use such methods? Well, anything he can use. I mean, he died on the cross to save people's souls. Each soul is infinitely worth to him to shed his blood for. So if that will move one soul to think about heaven, think about the requests of the Blessed Virgin to say their rosary, to pray a Hail Mary, it does something. It's a good thing.
Do you think we're on the verge of a third world war?
I think that we could easily be there. I mean, first of all, this kind of news is not published generally in the United States or Canada, but, you know, Putin a year ago, or maybe it's 2 years ago now, when the U.S. were putting up some military, radar screens or whatever, he said, he gave an exclusive interview to the Toronto Globe and Mail saying if they're going to do that there, I'm going to start targeting. I can't reach the United States with my missiles, but I can reach European, and I'm going to start targeting. So he has threatened. They've threatened it even in August to go to war with NATO over Georgia.
Yeah. Well, he can reach. Believe me, with those submarines, he can reach us.
Oh, absolutely as well. I mean, but he was trying to pressure the Europeans. I'm not saying that to tell them, look, you want to play this game? I can play it too. So. And, you know, there's a NATO doctrine. I was, one of my peace commentators in Europe told me, says part of a NATO doctrine calls for these missile bases as basically being able to shoot down to have the first nuclear strike against Russia. I'd never heard of this before. And when they want to react, that these missiles they have in Poland would be there to shoot down the Russian missiles taking off. I don't keep up with everything. There's so much going on, but, you know, there seems to be people on both sides of this who either I win or everyone else loses.
Technology will be delivered in suitcases, Father. They won't need missiles.
Yeah. Well, in fact, some people say that they're already, whether it's in the Russian embassy in Washington or some other place, they have these things already in place. All they have to do is pull the plug or press the button or whatever they do.
Absolutely. Would you give us that toll-free number again for the Fatima Crusader magazine?
Sure. 1-800-263-8160. And we have people standing by to take their calls right away, too. And just say they want to put their name in the magazine, or if they want to get books, they have special prices, I believe, of the different books on Fatima we have.
When we come back, we will take fast blast questions for you, Father. And then next hour, we'll take phone call questions on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. When we come back, fast blast questions for Father Nicholas Gruner on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie with Father Nicholas Gruner. Father, let's take some of these questions that we have on our computer fast blasts. Nate from Nebraska, interesting question. He says, Possibly, Father, do you think the Vatican is not releasing the final secret message because it predicted something to occur at a time that has come and gone without incident? Interesting. Huh? What do you think?
Well, that's in fact what the Vatican tried to tell us. You know, again, in the year 2000, when Cardinal Sodano said, announced to the Pope they would release the secret, he said that on May 13th, before a million people, I was one of the people there. And then on June 26th, 2000, they released the half of the text, and they tried to imply, you know, in the overall releasing of it, that it was about an event that took place in the past, namely the shooting of the Pope in 1981. But, of course, it didn't fit. So obviously they're hiding something. If they had something that did fit, they would have told us. They're trying to bury it. They don't want to hear about it. And so if it actually happened that way, they would have told us quite openly. But why would they have hidden it since 1960 when they were told to release it? Why would they put everyone under oath? If their secret was released, why do all those people that know the secret who are under oath, why don't they come forward and say that's not true? Or why don't they come forward and say that is true? It's exactly the testimony of Archbishop Capovilla. He said, you know, well, even if I knew something else, he said, and you can read this in Sochi's book, yeah. Even if I knew something else, I couldn't tell you because, you know, I have to keep with the official line. I'm using, it's my words, those are not his words, but that's the general substance of what he said.
Did Lucia go to the grave upset that it was never revealed and released?
Well, I mean, she was not allowed. Here you have, I mean, there's some almost a million nuns in the world, and she's the only nun in the world. Even Mother Angelica, until she was silenced in EWTN, she's an enclosed nun on television every night, Mother Angelica live, until she said on May 16, 2001, when she said, well, as for the third secret, I'm one of those people that don't believe we got it. 3 days later, she's off the air. She's never been back, basically. And they're editing her stuff from her old shows. You know, she's not in charge of her program anymore at all. We wrote about that in our book, The Network, EWTN, The Network Got Wrong, actually written by Chris Ferrara again also. But but Sister Lucy was the only one. In fact, her blood sister told me, Caroline, it was said that when she would go and visit her, half the convent would be in the parlor with Sister. She could never be by herself with her. And that's since 1960. She's only been able to talk to close relatives and only people that she knew before 1955. No one, no other nun in the history of the church has been so closely controlled as to who she saw and who she was allowed. And she couldn't, even when she met somebody, she wasn't allowed to say anything that she had not already published in her books.
So, I had a guest on, and I was a little leery of him. I bounced him off the show. He claimed that he went to Portugal and had a private meeting with Sister Lucia, and that she told him secrets. And I just didn't believe him, Father. Yeah. And I told him, you know what? Off we go to a different guest and a different day.
Yes. Well, so. I mean, I was invited to speak to her, and I had a Cardinal Padiera, who's now gone to his eternal reward, but he and Bishop Michelapa, also has since died in 1992, got me an invitation to go and meet her. I got there at 25 past 10. My driver didn't get there in time, but I was still in time for the last half hour of my interview with her, and they said she was sick. At 11 o'clock, she was fine, and she met the president of Manila, of the Philippines, but they didn't want her to meet me.
So you went all the way out there and you didn't get a chance to meet her.
That's right.
I wonder if you would have asked her about that third secret.
We would have asked her some very direct questions that, you know, they were trying to tell us that she had said certain things which were completely unbelievable for every public statement she made for the past, you know. When this whole thing about the consecration of Russia, they're trying to say that Sister Lucy said the consecration was done. Well, the fact is that she said, not the world, Russia. She, in William Thomas Walsh's book, which has gone into more than a million copies, first published in 1946, is very explicit that, you know, Our Lady did not ask for the consecration of the world. She asked for the consecration of Russia. And then she said, in 1947, it was Father McGlynn, who was doing a sculpture, or 49, he published his book. There's three different books, all of these things. In 1952, the bishops of Italy published Our Lady is Still Waiting for the Consecration of Russia, and they published this thing. She's been saying the same thing consistently up until 1989. And even there then, you know, they had to wait for the nuncio to change before they could start putting out fake letters. We've been fighting this stuff for years. However, you know, I think we've won the battle over time. But no, she never changed her testimony that you can point to from all the earlier testimony that we have witnesses for, and it stood for 60, 70 years, up to 1989. That would be from that was 15 years before she died, or 16 years before she died.
Is it time for another visitation, perhaps, from the Blessed Virgin Mary?
I think that, you know, I'm sure Our Lady must be appearing in other places at other times besides Fatima. But Fatima is the definitive revelation, I would say, for our time. The other ones would be supportive of. In fact, when Our Lady appeared at Akita in Japan, she appeared on the anniversary of the miracle of the sun, October 13th, and she made this prediction about the punishment being worse than the flood, and that, you know, that the and those who survive will envy the dead. So she has appeared subsequently tonight to Fatima, and the problem is that a lot of people, you know, first of all, the devil can have false apparitions, which has happened over the centuries, and certainly, you know, at Lourdes, for example, when it's the 150th anniversary of Our Lady of Lourdes, but when Our Lady was appearing in Lourdes, the devil had 20 other places which he was appearing, pretending to be the Blessed Virgin. And but nobody hears about those places around Lourdes today. But
no.
But the devil did that in 1858. But they didn't stand the test of time with the miracles and so forth. And so the devil has false apparitions, but there are true apparitions as well.
You do believe in demonic forces then, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, Malachi Martin and I have one thing in common. We've both done some work in exorcism. I'm sure he did a lot more than I did, but I've certainly heard the devil speak, and seen other evidence of it as well. I worked with four other priests and myself on one case.
Are you still doing exorcisms?
Not, as one exorcist who also has some other gifts said, "Biddy, it's not your work. You shouldn't do it unless no one else will do it, and unless charity demands that you do it. You really shouldn't be doing it yourself."
It's dangerous, isn't it?
Well, it can be, and there's certain precautions though that you take. I'm still taking precautions from that little bit of work I did some 30 years ago. I still take a precaution every day because I learned that a little precaution goes a long way. So,
Lonnie in Las Vegas, one of our great listeners, says, the Bible tells of the terrible coming time, the tribulation when all nations are judged. That time could be now too, Father, don't you think?
It certainly could be. Certainly, if Cardinal Chappie is telling us that the third secret is foretold, that the apostasy, as St. Paul says in the second letter of the Thessalonians, chapter 2, he says that the Antichrist cannot come until the apostasy. So if this is the great apostasy, which is foretold in sacred scripture, and he calls it the great apostasy, there's only one great apostasy, it's the one foretold by St. Paul and by our Lord, and then shortly after the great apostasy comes the Antichrist, and then you have the 3 years of the reign of Antichrist, followed by the Antichrist being killed by Christ, by the breath of his mouth, that Christ kills the Antichrist. But before that happens, the two prophets of God are killed by the Antichrist and their bodies are left in the streets for 2 or 3 days. It's all mentioned. So when we're talking about these things, we're talking about things that have been predicted 2,000 years ago, and which apparently, from the pieces we can put together, are taking place and about to take place in our time.
Could the Antichrist be the third message? They have the name.
The Antichrist could be mentioned in the third secret, whether they have his name, of course. The Antichrist is both a movement, but it's also an individual person. And so the Antichrist doesn't come all by himself. I mean, first of all, he has Satan working for him, but apart from that, there are movement or movements of humans that pave the way for him. And then there's this individual that, you know, so certainly things like communism, but communism is not the only movement of Antichrist. There's certainly other. Our Lady spoke in Fatima about the errors of Russia. She didn't say the error of Russia. Certainly communism is an error from Russia, but it's not the only error from Russia by far.
Maria wants to know, in California, do you think maybe the third secret had negative information about the Church and the Vatican and the Pope, and that's why they decided not to release it?
Well, we've both the book, The Devil's Final Battle, as well as The Secret Still Hidden by Christopher Ferrara, The Devil's Final Battle by Father Kramer, basically have negative information about certain individuals who have ascendancy in the Vatican, who are misleading the faithful, and these people have enough influence to see it doesn't get released. That's certainly said, you know, very articulately in both these books and in other places as well. Even, I think, Frère Michel will allude to that in his book put out in 1985 with The Third Secret.
Anton wants to know, why is God so mean? Why does he seem to have wrath? Why does he seem to punish?
Well, first of all, as you know, as St. Paul says in Scripture, that God is a loving Father, and because he loves us, he wants to correct us. And so if a father just lets his children do what they want, you've heard the expression, of course, a spoiled child. Well, what's a spoiled child? The child is not corrected by his father. The child gets whatever he wants, does whatever he wants. But what happens to him? He doesn't have character. He doesn't have discipline. He's basically, people who have to deal with him find it hard to deal with him because you can't depend on him. He's so unreliable. He's got no, you know, and basically he's been spoiled. I mean, that's the term is used. God doesn't want us to be spoiled. He wants us to be, you know, good, and loving, and people destined to go to heaven. So he has to punish when nothing else works.
If you had an audience with Pope Benedict, what would you ask him?
I would ask him to release the secret, because I think he's a very intelligent man. He knows what the secret is. He also knows, if I were in his shoes, I could also understand the difficulties of releasing it. But ultimately, it is the wisdom of heaven. It's the wisdom of the Mother of God, the Virgin Most Prudent, the Seat of Wisdom, the Mother of Good Counsel. Those are several titles of the Blessed Virgin. And she wants it released because this way, the faithful will get to know what they must do. Many of us, maybe all of us, are somewhat deceived by all the circumstances around us for the last 50 years or more. And when they hear these words, there will be a grace. There will be a moment of truth, a moment of light for people to say, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. I better retrace my steps. I better fix. So there are a lot of people who want to do the right thing, but they don't know that they're on the wrong track. Now they can, you know, they can turn to me and say, well, that's his opinion and, you know, all the rest of it. But when they hear Ali's own words, it won't be my opinion. It won't be someone else. It won't even be the Pope. It'll be the Blessed Virgin, the Mother of God, speaking as a mother to each of us and saying, this is what you got to do to save your soul. And this is what you got to do together with others to right the situation in the church and in the world.
What would you recommend people do if they want to try to get this third secret released?
Well,
is there anything?
Well, several things. First of all, the first thing, of course, is to pray, because ultimately this is beyond Our Lady says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. So it's going to be her victory. So we should ask her help by praying the rosary. So it's logical we should pray, and that's the first thing. But not only pray, all the saints have said, but St. Benedict's ora labora, pray and work. So what kind of work should we do? Well, we should be informed. So we should inform ourselves about this. I mean, our magazines, if they just want to read about it and don't want to pay anything for books, that's fine with me. They can, first of all, read them online, read the Devil's Final Battle or the Secret Still Hidden online. They can read our magazine. We send it to them for free, issues on the Third Secret. So one is to be informed. The second is to tell others. One of the things, for example, if you think about it for a moment, Our Lady appeared to the three children. They decided to keep it quiet. Lucy, Father Jacinta, told her mother that in June there were 50 people. In July there were 5,000. In August there were 15,000. In September there were 30,000. In October there were 70,000. Now, where did these people come from? It was all by word of mouth. It wasn't by radio. It wasn't. The newspapers were against them. The government was against them. And the clergy were afraid. So it was people telling their friends and neighbors by word of mouth. And that's what the word spread. So they can tell their friends and neighbors about the message of Fatima. Tell them to, you know, if they all send a message to Benedict, he has a website. If you write to my email, info@fatima.org, we'll send them, I don't have it in my fingertips, but the Pope's email address is, they can email him, just say, Your Holiness, with all respect, please release the secret. You know, put in their own words. There's posters in Rome right now which say the Blessed Virgin of Fatima said, "Holy Father, well, Holy Father, much to suffer. Pray a lot for the Holy Father. Holy Father, we pray for you. We ask you, save us all, save humanity. Publish the entire third secret." They could send that message to, or words to that effect. Or if they want the wording, we can send it to them just by asking, you know, again, at Fatima, info@fatima.org. We'll send it back to them.
He'd be very surprised if we all said we know about the second envelope, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, it's, in fact, it's here it is right here, Benedict at Vatican.va. Benedict X1XV1, that's Benedict 16th, at Vatican.va.
You think he opens up his own email?
Well, I mean, I can tell you this. If all your listeners sent them a short email just saying, "Your Holiness, we pray for you. Please release the whole third secret." Simple as that. And if you got 10,000 of those, let me tell you, I had a visitor from the Vatican here about 20 years ago when he said, you know, we had petitions for the consecration of Russia. They should still consecrate, but we're on the subject of third secret. They had 400,000 petitions pouring in that year. And they had a Vatican representative on my doorstep telling me how impressed they were.
Well, we'll get you 50,000 emails in a moment. Give it to us one more time.
I'll get that, sure. Okay, so it's Benedict, that's Benedict XV1. That's Benedict 16.
XV1, okay.
V-V-I.
V-I. XVI.
XVI, XVI, right. My mistake. XVI at Vatican.va.
.va, okay. It'll go straight to him. At least someone in his office will wake up and, well, it's probably morning there now.
Yeah, it's 6 hours from now, so it's about 10 o'clock in the morning over there.
All of a sudden, they start getting thousands of emails. They're going to figure, what's going on here?
Well, they're very sensitive. It's the one thing they're sensitive to is what the people are saying, what the people want to know. To a lot of people, it seems it doesn't make any difference. Let me tell you, Cardinal Bertone's book, you might have, you know, this is response to Sochi's book. Sochi came out in November 2006. Cardinal Bertone came out with his book in 2007. And what does he say, among other things, in there? We released the third secret because of people like Father Gruner and asking for it.
That's only on this show, Father, would we give out the email address of the Pope.
Well, tell him that, you know, if you want to, that Father Gruner prays for him every day, but he still wants the secret to be released, the whole secret, not just the part they gave so far.
What does he think of you?
Well, the only time he's made a comment about me is that I'm a very serious person. Okay, I mean, someone.
Well, you are. But, I mean, does he like you?
I've had a cardinal. And I several bishops, but a cardinal in 2006 says, "You," pointing at me in a very friendly way, but right. You, not somebody else, you have to talk to Benedict. Well, trying to get through to him is not the easiest thing. But if somebody's got a way for me to get in, I'll be happy to see him. That's fine with me. Oh. You know, and just, but because I've told these bishops another day at these bishops' conferences, I said, that vision of the Pope getting shot by guns and bullets and arrows is not John Paul II. It's Benedict. That's who is. He announced his own death. His own form of death was announced by Benedict when he was Cardinal Ratzinger. That's about him.
Jeez. We'll be back. Let's take phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.